Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into something pretty serious in the world of air combat. We're looking at the Chengdu J-20, China's mighty dragon, or Weilong. It's really forcing people to rethink things.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating story, technologically and, well, geopolitically, too. Our sources really let us trace its path.
Yeah, from the JXX program back in the 90s right up to now where it's being mass-produced.
And the speed is just remarkable. First flight in 2011, and boom, in service by March 2017.
Making China only the second country with an operational fifth-gen stealth fighter, after the U.S., of course.
Exactly. That timeline is incredibly compressed compared to, say, the F-22 or F-35 programs.
So our mission today, for you listening, is to really unpack what makes the J-20 tick. We'll look at its design, some controversial choices there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll trace the engine saga that's been a huge challenge for them.
That critical piece, yeah.
And maybe, most importantly, get into how the newest versions, especially that twin-seater, are pointing towards this whole new concept of manned-unmanned teaming, MUMT.
Right. It suggests a different vision for future air combat.
Okay, so first glance, the J-20, it looks the part, right? Long body, blended fuselage, sharp nose, that frameless canopy.
Very sleek. And it has the features you expect, like those diverterless supersonic inlets, the DSIs.
Uh-huh. Designed to hide the engine fans from radar. Standard stealth stuff.
Pretty much. But then...
then you see them, those big canards up front near the cockpit, all moving canards.
Yeah.
And that just seems counterintuitive for stealth. Don't smooth lines matter most? Wouldn't those just scream, I'm here, to radar?
Well, that's the big debate surrounding the J-20's design. For years, Western thinking was exactly that. Canards are bad for stealth. They create angles, reflect radar.
Right.
But the Chinese engineers, they reached a different conclusion. Their research, according to the sources, suggested that a canard delta layout like the J-20s could be made comparable in stealth performance to more conventional design.
Comparable. So they think they solved the reflection problem somehow, or minimized it.
Minimized it, likely through careful shaping, alignment, and maybe advanced materials. But the key point is why they kept them. Why take that perceived risk?
Okay, so what's the payoff?
Agility. Massive agility. The J-20 is designed to be highly unstable aerodynamically.
Which makes it more maneuverable, but harder to control.
Exactly. And those canards are essential for managing that instability.
Mm-hmm.
They provide continuous pitch control, especially in high G turns. The claim is this setup gives 1.8 times the lift of a standard delta wing.
1.8 times. Wow. So they basically traded some theoretical front-on stealth for superior turning performance, especially in that transonic dogfight regime.
That seems to be the philosophy. Prioritizing the ability to maneuver aggressively once the fight starts, perhaps accepting a slightly higher detection risk initially. It's a different bet than, say, the F-22, which prioritizes staying hidden above almost everything else.
Interesting. And does that philosophy carry over to weapons? Because I read it doesn't have an internal gun.
Reportedly, no internal cannon, which again points toward a focus on beyond visual range, or BVR, combat, long-range missile shots.
Makes sense. What can it carry internally, then?
The main bay seems designed for 4 long-range missiles. Think PL-15s, maybe even the newer PL-21s. And then it has smaller side bays for 2 short-range missiles, like the PL-10, for close-in defense.
So 6 missiles total, all hidden away.
Correct. But they also have an option if stealth isn't the top priority for a specific mission.
The beast mode thing.
Exactly. They can bolt on external pylons. 4 hardpoints, apparently. This lets them carry, say, 8 more missiles externally.
Sacrificing stealth completely, then.
Oh, yeah. But you gain massive firepower, or you can carry external fuel tanks. That pushes the ferry range out to something like 5,500 kilometers. Huge range.
Okay, so that range, that performance, it all comes down to the engines. And this has been the J-20's, well, its biggest headache, right?
Definitely its Achilles heel for a long time. National pride and genuine capability demanded an indigenous engine. But developing high-performance jet engines is incredibly difficult.
So for years, they were flying with Russian engines.
Yep. Initially, the prototypes and early production models used the Russian Saturn AL-31 FM-2. Reliable, but maybe not quite the powerhouse they ultimately wanted, and critically, not theirs.
Dependence on Russia, not ideal.
Not at all. So the big push was for a domestic alternative. And around 2019, we started seeing J-20s flying with the interim Chinese engine, the Shenyang WS-10C.
The WS-10C. Now, our sources say this was a bridge. Thrust-wise, it was roughly similar to the Russian engine, maybe 142 to 147 kilonewtons. So was it really a big performance jump?
Not in raw thrust, no. The jump was strategic. It meant independence from Russia. And crucially, the WS-10C apparently did allow the J-20 to achieve supercruise.
Ah, okay. Sustained supersonic flight without guzzling fuel on afterburner. That is a big deal for a fifth-gen fighter.
Huge deal. Plus, the WS-10C had some refinements, like serrated or sawtooth nozzles on the afterburners, which helps reduce the rear aspect radar and infrared signature. Better stealth from behind.
Gotcha. So the WS-10C solved the dependency problem and added supercruise. But it wasn't the final answer, was it?
No. The engine the J-20 was always designed for, the Holy Grail, is the Shenyang WS-15.
The WS-15, this is the one that's supposed to be the real powerhouse.
That's the plan. The target thrust for the WS-15 is reportedly around 180 kilonewtons, maybe even slightly more.
180 kilonewtons? Wait, how does that compare to, say, the F-22's engines?
Significantly more powerful. The F-22's F-119 engines are around 156 kiloRND each. The F-35's F-135 is powerful, but the J-20 has two engines. So if the WS-15 delivers, the J-20 could have a thrust-to-weight ratio that seriously challenges or even exceeds the Raptors.
What does that translate to in combat, just raw speed?
Speed, yes, but more importantly, acceleration and sustained energy. The ability to climb faster, turn harder without losing speed, dictate the engagement. It's about energy maneuverability, a key advantage the F-22 has held for a long time. The WS-15 aims to level that playing field, or maybe even tilt it.
And where are we with the WS-15 now? Is it flying?
It seems very close. Sources indicate serial production might have started quietly back in March 2023. And importantly, in 2024, we got clear photos of J-20 prototypes, designated J-20A, flying with two WS-15 engines installed.
So they're in late-stage testing, likely working out any remaining kinks.
Looks like it. The power gap that existed for years seems to be finally closing.
Okay, so powerful engines, potentially game-changing. Let's shift focus inside the cockpit, because the J-20 isn't just about speed and maneuverability. It seems built to be a flying data hub.
That's a huge part of the fifth-generation concept, isn't it? Sensor fusion. Gaining situational awareness while denying it to your opponent.
How does the J-20 approach that? What kind of sensors are we talking about?
Well, precise specs are obviously classified. But analysis points to a very advanced AESA radar-active electronically scanned array. Some estimates suggest it could have 2,000, maybe even 2,200 transmit-receive modules.
Which means
potentially very long detection ranges and the ability to track many targets simultaneously, even low observable ones.
But you don't always want to use your radar, right?
I agree.
Gives away your position.
Exactly. That's where passive sensors are crucial, especially for detecting other stealth aircraft. The J-20 appears to have at least 6 electro-optical sensor windows dotted around the airframe.
Like the F-35's distributed aperture system, the DAS, giving 360-degree coverage.
Something very similar, yes. Mm-hmm. It likely fuses infrared and visual data, potentially projecting it onto the pilot's helmet display, the HMD. This allows the pilot to essentially look through the floor or fuselage of the aircraft.
Wow. And dedicated targeting systems, too.
Yes. Speculation centers on an electro-optical targeting system, maybe called the EOTS-89, mounted under the nose. Again, vital for finding, tracking, and engaging targets, especially stealthy ones, without emitting radar signals.
So the pilot is dealing with a massive amount of information from all these sensors.
Immense. And the cockpit reflects that. It's fully digital, a glass cockpit. Reports mention a huge main touchscreen display, maybe 24 by 9 inches, plus a wide-angle holographic head-up display, the HUD, all integrated with that advanced helmet system.
It sounds like information overload could be a real issue.
Precisely. Which leads us directly to perhaps the most revolutionary development, the J-20S.
The twin-seater. Officially unveiled in 2024, the world's first two-seat stealth fighter. Why add a second person? Doesn't that potentially increase the radar signature, add weight?
It probably does add a marginal increase in radar cross-section and weight, yes. But the calculation is that the benefit far outweighs that cost. The second crew member isn't just a passenger or even a traditional weapons systems officer.
So what is their job?
Their primary role seems to be managing that very information overload we talked about. They act as a mission commander or a battle manager.
Focusing on command and control, C2.
Exactly. C2, battlefield surveillance, electronic warfare management, and the really big one, controlling unmanned systems. UCAVs.
Ah, the loyal wingman concept.
Precisely. The backseater in the J-20S is likely tasked with directing multiple autonomous or semi-autonomous drones flying alongside the manned fighter. This jet becomes the node, the command center for a network swarm. It's the embodiment of man-unmanned teaming, or MUMT.
That's a fundamental shift in how you'd employ a fighter jet.
It really is. It signals a move beyond just platform versus platform combat towards system versus system warfare, orchestrated from the air.
And this J-20S, this focus on MUMT, it shows they're not just building prototypes, they're thinking about large-scale deployment and future tactics.
The production ramp-up confirms that. Chengdu Aircraft Corporation started serial production back in late 2017. They used what's called a pulse assembly line, designed for rapid, high-volume manufacturing.
Was that partly a reaction to seeing F-35s showing up all over the Pacific?
Almost certainly. The increasing presence of U.S. fifth-gen assets in the region definitely added urgency. China needed credible numbers of its own stealth fighter fast.
And the numbers are quite something now. By late 2023, reports suggested over 200 J-20s delivered.
That's right. Already more J-20s than the total U.S. fleet of F-22s, which stopped production years ago.
And the latest figures for, say, September 2025?
Sources suggest the fleet size pushed past 300 aircraft by then. And importantly, they're not just sitting on air bases. By 2022, J-20s were confirmed to be deployed with operational combat units in all five of China's main military theaters.
So it's a fully integrated part of their force structure now.
Absolutely. But there's still some debate about its primary intended role.
How so?
Well, a lot of Western analysis frames the J-20 primarily as an anti-accessory of denial, or A2AD, asset. Basically, a long-range missile truck designed to threaten ships, carriers, maybe key land bases, to keep opposing forces out.
But is that how China describes it?
Not entirely. Chinese sources and doctrine tend to emphasize its role as an air superiority fighter.
Yeah.
But with a twist. They talk about systems destruction warfare.
Meaning
the goal isn't just dogfighting other fighters. It's about using the J-20 stealth, range, and sensors to take out the enemy's crucial enablers. Think AWOL, CS planes, tankers, electronic warfare aircraft, command and control nodes. Cripple the network and you win the air war.
Take out the eyes and ears.
Precisely. Degrade the enemy's ability to coordinate and see.
We actually got a taste of real-world interaction back in March 2022. U.S. F-35s encountered J-20s over the East China Sea. What was the U.S. reaction to that?
Initially, there seemed to be some professional respect. Air Force generals mentioned being relatively impressed, particularly with how the J-20s seemed integrated into China's command and control and early warning systems, seeing it operate effectively as part of a larger network.
But later comments seemed to downplay the threat.
Yeah, there was some, "we're not losing sleep over it," type rhetoric from senior leadership, which is fairly standard messaging. You don't want to overhype a competitor's capability publicly.
So what was the practical U.S. response beyond the public statements?
Two key things. First, it definitely added fuel to the fire for developing the next generation of U.S. fighters, the NGAD program, a sense of urgency. Second, and more immediately, it changed training.
How?
The USAF reactivated the 65th Aggressor Squadron and gave them F-35s. Their specific job is now to fly those F-35s, simulating the tactics and capabilities of advanced adversaries, explicitly including the J-20.
So U.S. pilots are now regularly training against realistic fifth-gen threats modeled on the J-20.
Exactly. It forces the training and tactic to evolve, a clear sign they're taking the J-20's capabilities seriously operationally.
And the cost. We mentioned the F-22 and F-35 are pricey.
Right.
Where does the J-20 fit in?
Estimates vary, but a commonly cited figure is around $100 million per aircraft.
Which is still a lot, but significantly less than an F-22, and maybe comparable to or slightly less than an F-35, depending on the variant and block.
Roughly in that ballpark, yeah.
Yeah.
Considering it's a large, twin-engine, domestically developed stealth fighter, achieving that production scale at that cost point is, frankly, a major industrial accomplishment for China.
It really underscores the whole journey. They've gone from relying on Russia to arguably surpassing them in current fighter tech.
Without a doubt. The J-20 program shows a capability to rapidly develop, iterate, and field advanced aerospace technology. And with the J-20S, they're not just catching up, they're pioneering new operational concepts.
So looking back, we've seen the clever, if controversial, design choices, like the canards for agility, the long, hard-won success in finally getting the powerful WS-15 engine close to service.
Le Cruche Restat.
And now this leap into the J-20S as a command platform for drones. It really paints a picture of a fighter built for networked, information-heavy warfare.
It does. And that twin-seat J-20S, designed specifically because managing the data and the drone swarm is too much for one person, it raises a really fascinating final thought for you listening.
Okay.
If the state-of-the-art solution today requires putting a second human in the cockpit to manage the complexity of human-machine teaming, what does the success and widespread deployment of that system due to the timeline for taking the human out of the loop altogether? How much closer does it push us to fully autonomous AI making combat decisions in the air?
That's a heavy question to end on. The J20S, trying to perfect human-machine collaboration, might actually be accelerating the push towards removing the human entirely. Something to definitely think about.